Beautiful to be here and to just have fellowship with you. As you mentioned, Leonard, that we've been part of it from the beginning, and I want you to know that this church actually started in my home. At least that was the first address they used for the church. those were good days. It's not easy to plant a church, and so the first thing, and to grow a church, and so the first thing I want to do is to congratulate all of you. And just 7 years is a huge milestone. Thank you, sir. And it's very significant. And that's one of the things I want to focus on this morning, is the significance of 7 years. That's, seven is a specific number in the Bible, a very important number in the Bible. And I think this is a significant day, a significant milestone. And I think God has a word for all of us, not just through me this morning, but through this whole weekend and through everything that's been shared. And this morning in the prayer time and all through the whole weekend, I'm sure many words and encouragements and prophetic things happening that line up with this being the seventh anniversary. So congratulations. It's the number of perfection. Seven is the number of maturity. It's the number of completion. And so it's like throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, brings everything to its maturity, to its completion. And that's an important concept in spiritual growth to maturity. Seven is the number of coming into maturity. Perfection in the sense of complete and mature in Christ. And one of the words that I believe for you this morning is, you have 7 years planted, and now it's 7 years, and you are mature, maturing. I know always there's growth, but mature, strong, and ready to be used by God. And that's a significance of the number seven. And I see that as a church. We've watched through the years and been blessed to be here from time to time when we're in the country and when we have the opportunity, and see it and watch it and watch it grow and watch it develop. And I believe, and have from the beginning, that this assembly was planted for a very specific purpose beyond just being a good church and having a good place to come and have fellowship and enjoy, but for God's purpose on a much larger, grander scale. And it was a great worship this morning and the song about the greatness of His name and the greatness of God, and many, many testimonies of that. And I want to emphasize that this morning, the greatness of God. Like, God has a very big agenda. And we work, as you know, in Ethiopia and in the middle of a lot of Muslim activity, and people have a concern about the Islamic agenda and what's going on with that. My sense is God has a much greater agenda, a global agenda. And this church was planted as part of that. And it will have an impact, already has, on your lives and the lives of others who have been part of it. It will have a major impact in the community, and already is, and will continue to. But much beyond that, into God's big and important and wide purpose. And so what I want to emphasize, and I'll jump around a little bit, is the influence that you as a church together, and then you as individual believers in Christ, can have in God's bigger, wider agenda outside of ourselves and outside of just our own local community. Influence, serious, spiritual, global kinds of influence. And one of the things we've been privileged to see is how that works out in real life. And so from the beginning, when you were called to plant, and those who joined from the beginning and those who kept joining and building and growing, I've always had that sense coming here that there is a divine major purpose that God has for the church. And I was reading recently, and it struck me because, well, for a lot of reasons I won't take time to explain, but Daniel in the Bible, and I know, you know, we think of the Bible characters as if they're some sort of not real people or something, and that we are just real people who can't really do much, but they were some kind of other people that could do lots. And one of the things I was thinking this week is, you know, we have the saying, without him, we can do nothing. And that's true. But we've often emphasized the we can do nothing part of it and forgot that we are not without him. We are with him, and he is with us, and the world can be changed. And I like what they said about the disciples when they arrived in one community in Acts, that those who have turned the world upside down have come here, and they were nervous about what's going to happen here. And that's us, the church. We can have that influence, and we should have it, and we want to have it, and there's a way to embrace it together, keep building each other and growing. And 7 years is like the maturity, now strong, now ready to have that impact. And as Daniel, the thing I was thinking about, I know we know Daniel and or know about him in the Bible, but what struck me was this young man, if you know the story, the history, Israel was taken out of their land, out of Jerusalem and out of Israel to Babylon by a very powerful world empire called the Babylonian Empire. And with that was a young man named Daniel taken. He was just a teenager. But he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would stand true to God through everything. And I'll talk about it a little later maybe, but I love working with young people who have that heart. I will not defile, I will serve, I will stand faithful to God. And this young man was taken captive. He did stay faithful to God. And I know the lion's den and all those exciting things that happened, but what struck me is his influence. A young man captive from a foreign country who were like slaves almost in the country, but faithful to God, and his influence kept growing until he's challenging the king, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of the world empire, maybe the greatest, most powerful world empire that ever was. And there's Daniel standing there challenging the king, encouraging the king, helps this king come to know the God of Israel and put his faith in the God of Israel. And then that king of that empire dies and things go sour, and a bad king, Belshazzar, shows up and things go from bad to worse, and Daniel's over on the side, but he's still there and he's still influential. And when all trouble breaks loose, they call Daniel again and he stands before another king, Belshazzar, and he tells them, you're weighed in the balance, you're found wanting, the kingdom's going to be taken from you and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that night, this world empire collapsed, and a new one rose up under the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel's still there. And as you go on, Daniel is now becomes a friend of King Darius of the Medes. And it's Darius who runs to the lion's den and sees Daniel. Are you okay? Did your God protect you? And this young boy, who now is growing up and faithful and strong, is now influencing another king of another world empire. This same boy. Just faithfulness. And then Darius moves and Cyrus, king of Persia, rises. And there's Daniel. And what made me see it was in Daniel chapter 1, it says Daniel was there as a prophet until the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And it was in the first year, according to Ezra, which talks about Israel now after their 70 years captivity, going back to their homeland, which took a huge miracle. It was in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that this decree was made by the king to send them back with everything they need to rebuild. And that's Daniel again, is at the heart of that. So all through those experiences, this one man who was faithful to God. And that's not because he's some unusual kind of movie character of the past. He was just a faithful young man. And my challenge to us this morning, we can be faithful, and God takes us, you and me, and gives us this kind of spiritual influence that goes way beyond our abilities or our education or our positioning. It's a spiritual something that God puts into us as we walk faithfully with Him. And I want to talk about that a little bit, that brings influence, that this church as a group, but you as an individual, influencing into this nation and beyond this nation. And it's real and it's genuine. We've been in Ethiopia for 25 years. We were in Zambia before that for 9 years. And I just want to give two simple examples that we've watched out of many hundreds of things. And in Zambia, we were invited back just recently to the country of Zambia. We spent 9 years there. And when we went to develop a training program, there was many young men in it, but one young man that stood out, and his name was Joshua Banda. And in that training, he just was one of those young people that is a heart for God and a passion for God. And so we got close quickly, and he worked with us and everything while he was in the college. And then when he graduated, he planted a church in Mazabuka, Zambia, and we went with him and helped him in that process. And then he came back. We invited him back to the college, the training program, to be one of its leaders, and then shortly appointed him to take the whole program. And I had to convince the general executive of the fellowship there that this is the man. He was 24 years old, and he's taken over the whole thing. And I said, he's the guy. Like, Val and I together realized this is the guy. The executive, no, he's too young, and no, this is the man. So they agreed, and they put him in, and he excelled and built it and developed it. And to make a long story short, he grew the college, the training, church planting. He ended up planting or pastoring the large church in Lusaka, Zambia, and is still there now. Influenced the nation. He's been a counselor to the presidents of Zambia, one after the other, over these 25, 30 years. And just recently, I can't take long to tell the whole thing, but just recently they had a political upheaval, and he had a dream, and he was sharing this with us just recently when we were there in April. And he said, I saw the president, the current one, and this issue, and he saw something. And he said, I didn't know if I should go and tell him. He went to the president. The president said, yes, come tell me. He told him, and the president said, I want you to come and mediate. And he invited the opposition group that were, it could have been civil war, it could have been major trouble to the nation, and him, and he invited Joshua Bandit, you come and sit with us and tell us and advise us how we should go forward. He did, and peace went through that election. They got a good government, and he's still advising that government. Like, that's the kind of influence, this one young boy. And he's still a very close friend. He's not a young boy anymore. He's 50-something. But to me, he was a young boy because we were so old at 20-something. And he came into that position and excelled. He has 3 PhDs. He travels across Africa speaking to major academic issues, but spiritually speaking into those worlds and to, in many ways, one faithful young guy. And then we went to Ethiopia 25 years ago, and the training thing we started with, and another young man who just had that look about him and that heart for God, Mamusha is his name, and we started working closely with him, and he became our right-hand man. We traveled all over, and before long, talked to the leaders of that country and said, he's the man to take this program. They said he's too young. He was 22, I think. And they said, we need a better face, an older face, and said, no, this is the guy, like, and they agreed if we would stand by him, so on and so on. He excelled and grew, and I can't explain to you the impact he has in the nation of Ethiopia today. He is the premier spiritual, evangelical leader in the country. Speaks into the government, into the Orthodox, into the, and around the world. Very effective, very spiritual person by faithfulness. And with the faithfulness, there has to be humility. Because if we lose humility, we lose God's favor. And we just become a proud fool making noise. But they stayed humble. And there's many more like them. And I just want to emphasize in this, it's not some kind of a movie figure or something. It's you and me that are called to have influence where we live. And through what we are doing and where we're doing it. It doesn't have to be waiting for some call into something somewhere someday. It's now where you are, where you're planted. This assembly, all of us planted in all different places, God's presence brought into those places and influenced through us into those. Not just our words, not just if we pass out tracts or say to somebody, do you know where you're going when you die? Or like, we can do that, but it's in our presence, our skill in business, our skill in training, our skills in our profession, our skill in life, and the anointing that goes with that. One of the things I've come to realize is when you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, they're powerful things. They're not just for us here in the church to have a party. They are for our life. And you think of a businessman in a business community dealing with the issues of life, and he brings God's wisdom into it, or a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, or just brings skill and capability as a construction person or a builder or a whatever, a university teacher or a policeman or a politician. Or one of the things that's phenomenal right now in Ethiopia is many of the government leaders that have gotten saved over the years, and especially through our programs, I mean our ministries in different ways, and I won't explain, are now in high positions all over the country. But they need to be strong in the Lord, and then they are strong in what they're doing and how they shape things. And so we have the potential, each one of us, planted somewhere in God's program where He's put you. Now, not 4 months from now, or the harvest is ahead. Now, where you are, God's put you there, and 7 years is like the number of completion, maturity. You've come to maturity. Someone said this morning in the prayer time, there's exceptional strength in this church among the people and the leaders, and I watched it yesterday as they smashed each other with those big balls. Brad was one of the heroes to knock guys flying, and they were supposed to be playing football, soccer. But he quit kicking the ball and just started knocking everybody. It was more fun. Exceptional talent and skills and strengths. But there is, for real, spiritual gifting and strength and maturing. And there is a treasure for God to use. And you are His church. And your influence depends completely on your spiritual health. Like these young men, Daniel and others, purposed in their heart. They walk with God. They go through every kind of thing to get there. This is a sideline, but I love the verse in 1 John when he says, I write to you fathers because you've been there from the beginning. And that's important. We need the strength of the fathers who have been from the beginning. And then he says, I write to you young men, he says, but it could apply equally to young women. Because you're strong, and because you've overcome the evil one, and because the Word of God abides in you. Those young people. And that's what I'm talking about. I love working with young people. In many situations, we've brought the youngest, like 20 years old and 18 years old, into situations, and they have a passion for God. They have to be strong. They have to have overcome the evil one. This is what I want to emphasize to the young. To the old, let's bring them in and use them and build them and develop them. But to the young, you have to overcome the enemy's plan for your life. He wants to set you aside, stumble you along, get caught up in the things of this world, like the seed that gets disturbed and problems and caught up with the money and issues in life and never comes to fruit. That's the enemy's plan for all of us. But I'm talking to the young for a minute. Overcome that. It has to be overcome. It's not an automatic. It's not sitting in church is going to make it happen. You have to embrace it. You have to purpose in your heart like a Daniel or like these young men. We were laughing together with Joshua just when we were there now and had a lot of fun. In fact, he invited us there to minister and to do a marriage seminar. And we're like, marriage seminar? Oh, okay. We used to do those in Zambia. I forgot. I used to say it was easier to do them when Val wasn't there. Because if I would give my great wisdom on it and she would come home and say, well, if you know how to do that, why aren't you doing it? But I grew. But we were laughing at the battles, the challenges, the issues that, I mean, you can laugh when they're done, but they're not fun when you're going through them. and, you know, faithfulness. So you have to overcome the enemy's plan to set you aside. And I think all of us, that's true of all of us, the enemy wants to set us aside, get us offended, get us busy, get us caught up with the cares of life. However he can do it, to put us on the shelf so we never embrace that whole purpose of God and never come into that place of influence that you see where you go, you bring the presence of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Like if I'm a Spirit-filled person, then I should have those qualities of the Holy Spirit where I am, in my work, in my business, in my life, in my home, in my family, wherever we go. And that's what makes the difference. That's where the influence comes from, is us. And it's not just the church structure that gives influence, it's the church people. And you are the church, and you are the church people. And I emphasize again, there's a parable, and I'm just going to brush through it, but that Jesus uses in the Bible about talents. There's one talent, two talents, and five talents. And the one talent does nothing and ends up being rebuked severely. The two talent does okay and multiplies. And the five talent multiplies and does very well. And in the end, Jesus says, take the one from the one and give it to the one who has the most. And the whole story, and I won't go through it in detail, but a talent is, there's different uses of the word talent. It can be a money measurement, but it's a weight measurement. And it's a weight that one person can carry. It's 66 pounds, roughly. So it's what one person can carry. So in my illustration, a one talent person is one who, it's what one person can carry. So it's like a Christian who takes care of himself. That's basically what they do. I'm looking after myself. I'm what's best for me, what's good for me, what will help me. Is everybody doing everything just right to make me happy? And it's about me. Two talent is, takes two people to carry. It's more than one can carry. And it implies, in my illustration, to myself, plus I'm looking out to see someone else and help someone else, and it's better. And then a five talent person is, as I'm using it here, is one who has a global view, has a kingdom view, has a bigger picture. It takes five. It's five people need to carry it. And five is an important number also in Scripture, but it's the number of the gifts, for one thing, in Ephesians chapter 4, of leadership gifts that imply five areas of where the church needs to grow and develop and be mature and strong. Each one of us needs to be growing in those areas. And that's why God has given leadership to help the whole church grow into these things. And so at five is like someone who looks now at the kingdom and looking wider and bigger. And when I think the fivefold or the five talent person, it's those who sacrifice everything. It's the Daniels. It's the ones who, this is who I am. I will serve my living God. That's the center of my life. It's not about just me and my friend here will get through, but looking out at the bigger picture, at the whole body, at the wider world, at seeing the kingdom of God and how my life fits into that and where has God placed me into that, and having that bigger influence that wherever you are, not big in the sense of numbers, not big in the sense of position, but big in the sense of influence and where God is with you and where you go, you take that into that situation. And that's a five. And just thinking of the five ministry gifts that develop the whole body of Christ into that place and bring us all along, and we keep growing into it, and we're in the process of growing. It's not done, but it's symbolically stable at seven. Those five, the apostolic, and I know so much stuff has been said about all of them, and it's so much is nonsense, and it's just stuff that gets blown out of proportion, but just taking it from its simplicity. Apostolic is the global view. It keeps the church focused out there. The prophetic is God's view. What is God saying? We want to be on track with God. We're not just doing something to do something. We want to be led by and directed by God. And so the prophetic element of God speaking into us, and we know we're in tune with God. It's something different than just developing programs for program's sake. We're walking with God. And then the evangelist that is, keep our eyes on the souls around us. Like, we're happy here, but Right outside the door are people who are not happy. In our lives, everywhere we go, there's people we run into that need Jesus. Evangelist, the pastor care that the church has taken good care of, and individuals are growing, and if you're hurting, there's somebody there to care, caring for each other and developing each other as the body. And unfortunately, what often happens is the church loses all of the other elements and just focuses on the pastoral care and take care of me. And that's a whole pack full of one talent people just needing, I need. One of the things that irks me, and you can get mad at me if you want, but when I come back to Canada, is traveling, we travel all over, is it almost invariably, you'll hear, my needs. Anybody have needs? Needs, 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 needs. If you have needs, needs, who has needs? Needs, needs. I'm like, get over it. God will meet our needs. But now, what's next? Where am I going? What am I doing? My needs are now met. So we need pastoral care, but it's not the whole story of the church. And if we lose the apostolic, the bigger picture, if we lose the prophetic, if we lose the evangelistic, then we become ingrown and focused on ourselves. And then the teacher, that not only teaching the word, not only that we know the word, but that we obey it. Again, one of the things I see so often is if you don't know the word, you aren't going to be able to obey it. You might know it and not obey it, but if you don't know it, you can't obey it. And I know lots of people who think they're living a Christian life who aren't, because they don't even know what the Bible requires of a Christian life. We just assume, well, I'm kind of half decent, as good as the next guy. Trouble is, the next guy's no good. We need to know the word. But not only know it, obey it. Obey it, obey it. That's what the New Testament implies over and over and over. So what God is looking for, I believe, and Isaiah puts it into words, that God looked for a man. He looked for a person that I can use. And I would put it this way, God's looking for a church and looking for people that he can use to do stuff that is a global agenda that has influence and not just stuck in our own little mindsets. Kingdom people. Kingdom builders. And I'm not here to focus on Ethiopia, but that's where I live, so I can use it as an illustration at least. When we went and I saw lots of people who are busy building their own church or their own life or their own denomination, but God is interested in a kingdom view, like a big picture view. And we watched that unfold. We're working with all the evangelicals. We're working into the Orthodox religion of Ethiopia. Amazing stuff happening. Muslim thing now, we're started with thousands. Now it's hundreds of thousands, and it's moving into millions of Muslims coming into fellowship of it, a very different looking fellowship. But it's God's kingdom growing and developing. And God wants to use you as a church. You've come to this place of seven. To use you to influence things way beyond you that require not just our skills, but God's anointing, God's presence, God in you and his gifts working through you and his presence in you where you are. And so you go into your workplace or you go into the wherever it is that you have influence, and God's presence goes with you into that. And things start happening. I don't know how to explain this any better, but I hope the Holy Spirit will. There's an element to it that goes way beyond you and your abilities. It's as you grow up in Christ, your influence grows. Your spiritual authority grows. What you do carries more weight than just what you do. And we've watched it now many, many times over, where we see some kind of an opportunity, you step into it with very, very little to offer, you think. And God just starts making stuff happen. And out of that grows something, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And like this whole thing with the Muslim world, and I'm not joking, it's now reaching into millions of Muslims coming to know Christ. And right now, it's exploding. But it started with the very simplest little thing. this guy sitting in my office talking to me, and I'm hearing him, and I'm sensing, yes, this is something. And we start with the simplest little thing 20 years ago. And it keeps getting, but it's not us starting it. That's the beauty of it. That's what I'm getting across. It's not just you in your workplace. You do some little thing, and that's the end of it. That happens. But it's then God puts his hand on it, and something else starts to happen out of it, and something else, and something else, and it grows, and it develops, and it's out of any human effort. It's spiritual, divine. And he's calling you to that. Not in India or China or Ethiopia. Here, where you are. And then it may grow to whatever else God has in mind for your life. And I just see the power of that. And I believe it for you. I know this church was not planted just to be another church in the community. It will be another church in the community. And I believe a very healthy one, as I have been privileged to be part of it. But much more than that. What you're laying your hand to do as an assembly or you as an individual will have power, something working through it. Not hyped up stuff, but real, genuine. The Holy Spirit in the book of Isaiah, he's described as his influence on Jesus in Isaiah 11 too. But the quality of the Holy Spirit, sometimes unfortunately in charismatic Pentecostal circles we've turned the work of the Holy Spirit looks kind of like a circus or something, or like silly stuff happens and turns into all kinds of funny stuff, and we think that's the Holy Spirit. And I could tell you examples, really weird ones. But if you look at what the Holy Spirit's like in Isaiah 11:2, he's the fear of God, the spirit of power, and that's power to live the life, power empowered to live the life. It's the spirit of counsel, the Holy Spirit counseling us, guiding our life. He's the spirit of understanding. He's the spirit of wisdom. Like, those are rich qualities. You think of going into your, first of all, your marriage with those qualities. Then your raising of kids with those qualities. Word of wisdom. Doug, when you're raising kids, you need a word of wisdom. In fact, quite a few words of wisdom. You need the Spirit of God. And then into your workplace, a businessman, a teacher, a policeman, a politician. You are the church. And you are the channel of everything God does in the world. He does it through his church. And I noticed, like, again, I could share examples, but in Ethiopia where God supernaturally touches a young man like this guy whose food multiplied 20-something years ago. That was supernatural. Nobody seemed to have anything to do with it. But I know people were praying. But he then had to come to the church. And the church had to disciple and build and grow. So even when God acts supernaturally, he works through us. So you are the channel of what God wants to do in this troubled nation. You. And you say, oh, no, I can't do anything. Like, without him, I can do nothing. Sing it the other way around. With him, I can do everything. With him, I can do stuff. And it's stuff you wouldn't expect you to do. We're not without him. And God looked for a man, and don't be set aside. That's the heart of it. Don't let the enemy set you aside. I could, again, give lots of examples of it, but a person called to serve can get set aside by becoming bitter. Why am I always serving? Nobody else is serving. Why am I? A giver can get upset and bitter and set aside. Why am I always giving? All they want is my money. Don't let the enemy, using our gift is our joy. I could say, well, you know, why am I still in Ethiopia? Stuck over there in the back, tied to nothing. I could be, are you kidding me? Using the gift God's called us into is the joy of life. It's the joy, that is enjoying life. And whether anybody else does it or not. Don't get set aside. Don't become self-centered, that your whole life is about you and your faith is about you and you are at the center of everything. That's a one-talent person, and Jesus treated that person quite harshly. Churches can forget their purpose and get turned into themselves. That's why we need all functioning gifts of the leadership to keep our eyes focused in all areas. Imagine if you're filled with the Spirit, and I've preached this before. It's my broken record type message that I preach over and over because God preaches it to me. If you want to grow and you want to have influence, I don't care what your circumstances, where you've been, what. If you want to grow, there's a very simple pattern, and it's all through the New Testament. Put to death the desires, attitudes, and motivations of the old nature that stem from greed, pride, selfish ambition, lust, jealousy. Those things that flow out of us, motivated by those things, we can put a spiritual front on it, we can do whatever we want, but if it's motivated that way, it's death. And so the Bible says, put that to death. Put those off. Crucify them daily. And be refreshed in the Holy Spirit daily. And then we'll grow. We'll change. Issues that we think we can't get past, we can get past. Not quickly, but we will. If we do that, we grow. And it's a beautiful thing. It's not a hard message. Not hard. What's hard is to stay where you are and not grow and not be used and just kind of stumble along. If you do that, you change. And the power of the Holy Spirit grows in you. That new nature empowered by the Spirit grows up and bears that kind of influence. It's not about where you go or some trick you got to learn. It's that presence of God in you that is living water that flows out of you. And I think of it, I see it all the time, but you go into a situation and it's a troubled situation and there's lots of troubled situations, but instead of just bringing more trouble to it or frustration or anger, you bring God's life into it, solutions. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if you're understanding me or not, but I'm challenging you to be a kingdom builder. I know this church will be a kingdom building church. And I challenge you as a part of it to be a kingdom-building person and grow up in Christ and really embrace it like Daniel's and have influence and watch it grow. And it takes concerted effort. It takes daily refreshed in the Holy Spirit. It takes the Word of God. Like I said, the young man that John talks about is one who's strong, one who's overcome the evil one, and one in whom the Word of God abides. And the Word of God, I love it. It's life. It's our only true guide. We need to know it and obey it. And I love what the Bible says about it in 2 Timothy 3:16. It's profitable to teach you. It's profitable to rebuke you. You like the rebuke? It's profitable to correct you, and it's profitable to train you in righteousness. But if we don't know it, and I know many who wander around thinking they're living a Christian life when they're not. They're just sitting in church maybe, or maybe not sitting in church, but they're not living the life that God has called you to live. Because you don't know what God has called you to do. And so if you don't know what it is, you don't know how to live it. But here's the only hard thing I'm going to say today. Everything's been soft. I won't say that this time. I was going to say I like being with Leonard because then I look soft and easy. This is the hard thing I'm going to say. Don't be shocked if you're living a non-Christian lifestyle because you either don't care or don't know the Word. Then don't be surprised that God isn't listening to you. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much, not the whines and cries of a worldly Christian. But I hear it all the time. Why doesn't God answer my prayers? And this happened and that happened. Why? Don't know. But I know this. It takes a lot to plant a church. It takes a lot to grow a church. It takes a lot to build strong people in the Lord. And it takes a lot of energy and conviction and determination for each of us to grow in Christ and each of us to be effective in the kingdom of God. It needs daily dying and daily refreshed in the Holy Spirit and daily walking with God and knowing God and refreshed in His Word to be effective in His kingdom and bring His presence into places we go. And I know you are called for that. Called to disciple nations. And Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. Go and do this. It's not a mission text, it's a church text. All authority in heaven and earth, Jesus said, is given to me. People have asked me, who do you think you are going into somebody else's country and telling them how to do it and working, rebuking their religions? Or it's not me. It's under authority of Christ. And as we live under that authority, then we have that authority to be effective. Not by shouting words. Not even shouting Jesus' name. But by living and walking and growing and the Spirit of God filling us and flowing out of us and bringing that into every circumstance that we come into. And growing in that. And we have an impact to change Canada. I see a few churches, and I'll close with this. I see a few churches traveling across Canada who have this passion to be a discipler of nations, to have the impact that God wants His church to have. And not flashy, yappy stuff. I know all that stuff. But real, genuine, like I see here, and like I've seen here, and watched and prayed for and been privileged to come and join from time to time. There's a few. And God will join the influence of those across Canada together. They're not in one denomination or another. They're just churches with a heart and a passion. And people in those churches who have a heart and passion to not be content with a one-talent life or a one-talent church. That everything is about us. But instead, kingdom people. That my life is about His kingdom. And building His kingdom. And I know the church is going there, this church, as part of the bigger picture of God's kingdom. And I encourage every one of you to go there with it. So again, I just go back to the first thing I said, and that is 7 years is a great milestone. It's the number of maturity. You are mature. You're no longer a church plant. You are mature and ready and strong to do what God's called you to do and to expand into everything He has for you. And that's my call to you. You are the church, and He has no other doorway. He needs us. God bless you. I want to pray.